Hello, and welcome to the Mystic Chat. And this is our first episode of season three. Can you believe that? Oh my God, it's been 2 years, our third season. Awesome. So tonight we are talking about famous pagans. How it helps our community and how it's a challenge and a growing edge for us. Let me introduce myself. I am Chris Allen. I am an ordained minister for the Fellowship of the Phoenix. I am also a published author with several books, and I'm gonna throw out a little teaser. In spring, I'm gonna have a little surprise for everyone. I'm not sure if it's a huge surprise or a small surprise, but it's a surprise. So little teaser there. So let me introduce my co-host, Laura Gonzalez. Laura, introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Laura Gonzalez. I am a minister. I am a podcaster. I am a witch for hire. Pew, pew. I am a tarot reader. I'm a video blogger. Today I'm going to stop right there. And I love doing this. 3 years, unbelievable. And I am, oh my God, I'm so happy because we have a new co-host. And people will say I'm biased. And I am, because he's my best friend. And I'm so very, very happy to have you here. Dear Frater Aaron, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, all you cool witches and wizards. This is Frater Aaron, a magician in an armchair. I'm also from the Fellowship of Phoenix, where I'm a mentor and currently a pastry chef. That's all I got.
A pastry chef. I love it. Food magic. So this is Aaron's first show, and I'm very excited. So just hang out and be yourself, whatever. And just so you know, he's not drinking a cocktail, it's tea. However he could, I wouldn't care. So, all right, let's get right into our show. So, famous pagans. So the reason I wanted to do this show is, between everything of some published authors, TikTok, everyone has a podcast, including ourselves here. And people who are self-proclaimed leaders in the community. And on one hand, we have a lot of great people out there, like one who's going to be on our show February, I believe it's the 3rd, is a Christopher Pinzek, who's a friend of mine. I love him. I think he's one of the most famous pagans in the world, but Chris has done the work, and one of the things that I've enjoyed is I've enjoyed to see him like evolve and grow and change through his books and his ministry and things like that, However, there's some people who, so let me ask you this before, I'm trying not to judge. I'm trying to like just present the information. So a lot of times we see the beginner's guide to witchcraft, the beginner's guide to Kabbalah, the beginner's guide to crystals, the beginner's guide to blah, blah, blah. And there's thousands, like literally thousands of books. And what seems to happen, I was just noticing this, that the majority of the pagan population are beginners, and that's great. That's amazing. And those are the ones who buy the beginner books. And some of them are good, but some of them don't have a whole lot of substance, right? But they quickly become bestsellers. I can kind of see that. On the other hand, this is a whole conversation or a whole other conversation, I don't know, is a TikTok. Can I have mixed feelings about it? Laura, tell me some of your views about all this and what do you think's happening?
Oh my God. First of all, I have to come clean and I have to tell everybody I am absolutely 100% addicted to TikTok. I love it. I love, love, love TikTok. And TikTok is really fascinating. I like that it really is about the algorithm and that For You page thing, it really is for you. So if you like, for example, I am on the side of TikTok that is LGBTQ, people of color, and indigenous people. And I very seldomly, almost never run across witchy TikTok or so-called witch talk. And when I do, it really is a mixed bag. It really is a mixed bag. There are folks in there that are really informing people. They're really like breaking down stuff and grounding it for those who are very, very new seekers. And I like that. And then you have people whom, because they are TikTok famous, they feel that they have the authority to say things that are incorrect. For example, to give you a very like silly example, the Loteria game, the Mexican bingo, that is a Loteria game. It has nothing to do with divination. And I have this creator, and I ran into this TikTok, you know, by kismet. A, she's not Mexican. B, she's not Mexican-American. She's from other nationality and ethnicity. And she's assuring people that this is a Mexican divination tool. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I am a Mexican from Mexico. I grew up in Mexico. I do, my job is to be a diviner to a reader. And she was like schooling me into how Loteria is a divination tool. And I don't have the time really to get into that. So it really is a mixed bag. And it seems that people love to support people who say it like it is. You know, it reminds me of this, it literally cult of personality, 45, you know, how people just love people who are aggressive and who, not because you will something to be true, should be true. And that seems to be the case on Witch Talk. But again, mixed bag. And I love TikTok because of the creativity and people and funny dances and whatnot. Information, younger people bringing information and their perspective. But yeah, we love to make famous people who are not necessarily the most informed or the well-intended maybe, but not necessarily well-read or well-experienced.
Right, right, right. What do you think, Aaron?
So I don't actually have experience with TikTok, but I get a lot of crossover of that from other social media, you know, and people share talks. But what I see is a lot of YouTube and podcasts. And even with that, it does seem that there's a big increase of people who are getting most of their witchy information from social media and places like TikTok, YouTube, podcasts, which is great. I think it's pretty cool that there's so much available out there. But it's only going to get so deep from those sources, right? Just by the way that media is set up, you can't get into any actual mystery, you know? So if that's as far as people want to, you know, wet their palate, that makes sense, but it doesn't necessarily make you ready to be a leader or to be famous.
Well, see, I think that's the thing. So like, for example, I think TikTok itself is awesome because I love the dances and the kittens and the puppies and all the fun. I like the creativity and the humor. And when I go to Witch Talk, I go back and forth because, like, for example, when people are purposely being silly, like, oh, I can cast a spell, and then they like have flashing lights and it's silly. I think that's awesome. Like, yay, I like the creativity. I'm even fine with some of them. They had say, oh, this is a chord. This is how you use chords. That's okay. It's true. You're not misleading anyone. What I think is interesting is how can I use Instagram and Facebook to advertise all my classes and books? I will be the first to admit that. But because it has become an advertising tool for people that, like, for example, they're giving witch tips that make no sense. And to be honest, I even go back and forth because some of the witch tips, I wouldn't even call witchcraft. I would call it like, well, here, for example, smudging is not witchcraft. Please stop. Please stop saying that's an indigenous practice. Is not witchcraft. It's not even considered pagan. The Lakota don't like to be called that. And again, I go back and forth because it's people who are, some people are trying to help and they just don't have the experience. And other people are just saying things because they're trying to advertise, like, oh, let me tell you how to smudge and buy my smudge sticks. Oh, let me tell you how to use cords, but buy my cords. And I'm like, I'm not sure I feel about that. You know, when it comes to YouTube video, oh my God, speaking of, and I'm sure Camion probably heard about this since he's on here. I'm just, I want to say EA coding, Kading. Oh, what's his name? Here, hold on. I'm going to do it.
Keating.
Yes, Keating. You know, if you haven't heard, what it happened is, and I've seen a few of his YouTube videos. I just chalked them up as his, he's sensational. He's crazy, whatever. It's kind of entertaining, to be honest. But his books, say if you want the full power of Satan to do a human sacrifice, and it makes no bones about it. And so a guy did. And he was in the UK, and it was arrested and stuff like that. And yes, it's the same thing of saying, oh, the devil made me do it. But then you have people like him who are actually causing harm. And when I mean famous, like you go on Facebook and plug in his name, everybody knows who he is. You may hate him, you may think he's crazy, but you know who he is. You know,
I don't.
Well, here, I'm gonna have you Google it after the show. It's fascinating.
I will.
YouTube actually took up all his videos and things like that. But that is my point, you know, that you have people, because all my friends who are Satanists are like, they're awesome, open-hearted people, loving people. And a lot of people who call themselves Satanists don't actually honor Satan. And they certainly don't honor the Christian version of Satan. And so it's this whole sensationalized, like, I want to get famous. I want to get more likes. I want to get more videos. I want to do more things so people buy my books. And then it's either not good or it's even harming, you know?
Yeah, I was wondering actually if this topic had been inspired by the Keating incident, because that just happened last week, I think. And similar, you mentioned people offering things as witchcraft that are not. One that I see pretty often is pop psychology. You know, shadow work is a big one, but you know,
tell me
shadow
about, okay, work sounds. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Tell me about that. So the audience that doesn't know about shadow work, tell them what you're seeing.
Okay. So the two have become pretty conflated, like witchcraft and shadow work, but shadow work came from Jungian psychoanalysis, as far as I know. And it is a psychodrama, right? Where you assign your shadow, or you assign parts of yourself that are hidden from view, and you let them come to the surface, you assign a persona to them, and then you actually act it out, right? So I might pull over this other chair that I have over there and move into that chair and act like the angry werewolf that lives inside of me that only comes out occasionally when I get, as we would say now, triggered. And then I would come back to my chair and I would say, and what is it that you really want? What would make, you know, what are you hungering for, Mr. Wolf? And then I would go back into the wolf's chair, you know, and say fresh blood. But it is this, you know, it, as a lot of, you know, psychodrama can be, it could feel silly, right? But, you know, reportedly it is therapeutic. And there are magical techniques that are similar. There's a YouTube witch, and I this is one name I will mention today because I would congratulate her, actually. So there's Kellyanne Maddox, who is probably the most famous YouTube witch that I know of, at least. And she's in the UK, and she's been doing it for years. And so she really does like deserve all the recognition she gets. She's also like on Etsy, and she sells boxes, and she does a lot of divination work. And one of the things that she was open with in her YouTube channel was her own shadow work journey to improve herself and the state of her relationships and things like that. So I think that's actually one really big influence, how shadow work became more involved with at least mainstream witchcraft than it was, or pop witchcraft. And so now you see a lot of social media, podcasts, things like that, and even books coming out that will talk about, you know, that this is my witchcraft journal, and this is how I do the shadow work in it. And it's all good work, right? I mean, it's all self-healing. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with witchcraft. Another thing that I've been seeing similar with things that are being passed off at witchcraft that may not be harmful, you know, may not be along the lines of cheating, but still aren't necessarily witchcraft, are people who turn out to be life coaches. And so they're draping or cloaking this life coaching wisdom as a form of magic, which is very nice because it can be a form of magic, but then taking that metaphor to the next step and saying, and this is what true witchcraft is. And if you sign up to join the COVID, you get this many sessions with me, and you get this link to download the Book of Shadows, which is a self-help journal. And I've seen a number of accounts like these, and I don't want to go into like that. I won't name names, you know, and I don't want to go into too many details. I see them definitely targeted at specific like genders and at specific, I guess, like parts of subcultures and just very targeted audiences. And, you know, they're not necessarily harming people. They are using witchcraft as a way to make money for their business, right? And it's not really witchcraft.
I want to read some of the comments on the chat because they're piling up. And thank you, Aaron, for all of that. And Alex says, I'm a Jungian clinic psychologist and a witch, and I work with the military. Shadow work for me is about working through PTSD, through imagery, psychotherapy, psychodrama. His that work, like you were describing, is a part of shadow work, but it encompasses so much more than what the TikTok folks support. So I want to comment on that. And Alex, I'm sure you can be rolling your eyes with me on this. What I notice is that a lot of people utilize psychological terms or clinical terms and attach them to witchcraft. And I just, and Aaron has heard me say this a million times, I love those that promote come to my witchy workshop and heal your inner child in a 3-hour workshop. I mean, I don't think you can even get to know what your inner child is in a 3-hour workshop, let alone fix it or heal it. And then I want to address something that came in ask when I was talking about the Loteria, the Mexican bingo. They say, from a chaos magic perspective, why couldn't it be a divinatory tool? Granted, the misappropriation should not be acceptable. Exactly. So the ask and answer, I guess, in your own question. If you're gonna, I guess what is lost and what is watered down in this wanna be famous, wanna get the likes, other than giving the information, is if you came in, are an expert on, say, chaos magic, and then you come and you say something like, hey, I'm an expert on chaos magic, I'm going to tell you blah, blah, blah. By the way, this cards, this Mexican Loteria is great for divination. And then I, a Mexican native of the land, come and tell you, you know what? I don't know who told you this, but you're mistaken. This is not a divinatory tool. This is just Mexican bingo. I think it depends on how you take it, or Royal you now, how the person will take it. And my problem, my issue is, where do we know absolutely everything and are not open to learn or to listen to the people to whom the culture comes from? Mm-hmm. So it's this is worthy of a whole another show. But because you can say, you know what, I'm a chaos magician, I think this could be used as a divinatory tool. I'm going to try it. I think it's fantastic. I'm going to do it. That, chef kiss, do it. But don't come out and saying, my Mexican friends said da-da-da-da-da, because there are so many Mexicans. Mexico is a continental country where we don't do the same thing from north to south. And you have Mexican Americans, first generation, second generation, and none of us are the same. It's not a one uniform culture. So to come and affirm certain things like that, or to come and affirm that you're going to heal your inner child in 3 hours, that's the problem, in my opinion. And the fact that those are the folks that are becoming famous and then making bank out of it. Because as a witch for hire, I sell my shit, I sell my products, I sell my readings. But I try to be honest. And what I think is missing with a lot of these people is that they will say anything to get the followers and eventually the money. And then you have other folks that are like honestly trying to get, you know, work, and you don't get it because you're not BSing people. And I know I've overextended myself, but I just want to say something else. When people come to personal responsibility and accountability, healing through magic is different than when people sell you, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to do the magic to heal you. I think that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to shut up.
I have a few thoughts, you know, talking about going back to the audience member who's a clinical psychiatrist, you know, I think one of the big things is that if you're a tarot reader or a priest or a shaman or whatever a title you have to remember a term that's called the scope of practice. And what the scope of practice means, when it comes to your direct for training, and some of it is accredited, some of it isn't. Like, for example, it's hard to have an accreditation in shamanism. You need to stay into what you have been trained. Now, mind you, some of it does a blur. Like, for example, if someone comes to Laura or myself or Aaron for a tarot card reading, and sometimes it does get psychological, but there's a big difference of saying spiritually, here's what things are looking like, energetically, here's what I'm saying, then saying, oh, Well, psychologically, your subconscious is saying this, or towards even worse than that is diagnosing, which I think is horrible. It's okay to say, have you seen a therapist about this issue? Versus, let me help you with the psychological issue. There's a big difference. In fact, I'm a priest and I have been since 2004. And there have been many, 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 many times I've said, I want to help you, but I don't have the experience to tell you how to help with this psychological thing. However, if it's can my BFF, if it's a friend, I can say, hey, this and that, because it's friendship and it's nobody's paying me. And I think that's a big difference. When someone is paying you for something, you got to be really careful about what you say. Like, tell them the truth, you know, if you're doing a tarot card reading, but you don't want to give psychological help.
No. And let me add what, I'm sorry, Aaron. I have lost clients for telling them, have you tried therapy? And when you tell people, have you tried therapy? Some of my clients are very open to it and they actually come back and, oh my God, you were so right. I was trying therapy now and I'm feeling so good. And some don't come back because they don't want the help. They want the magic pill that is going to make it all go away.
Well, and you are both our advanced healers already, but what happens when the person on that side of the cards has only read a beginner's book and has now decided that they're a teacher and they're a leader, which is kind of where we started this, right? Yeah. And what we've seen, and similar to the come so I can heal you, one of the things I was noticing in specifically these life coaching examples I was using was, and I left my great profession after a Harvard education, and I studied all these grimoires and I read them all, so you don't have to. Now I can just, you know, tell you what you need to do. You know, and that's, you know, that's another one. No, you have to do it. I'm still thinking a little bit about the divination, actually. And, you know, Kamian knows that you can use anything for divination, right? You can take out whatever you happen to have in your pocket and cast it on the, you know, cast it on the surface and decide what it means. So there's the big difference in noticing that, yeah, of course you could use it for divination, but, which is different from saying, this is what this was meant to be used as,
right?
Which the things in your pocket probably were not created with that in mind. And okay, I hope we're not overbeating that, but there's a big line there, not just a fine line.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find interesting, because there's a lot of people who, like, for example, being an author, I pay attention to new authors, up and coming stuff. And part of it is, can I use that book for research? You know, I want to know, and I'll read it and I'll skim through it. And, you know, I'm actually fine with brand new people who have a fresh voice and a fresh perspective saying, oh, let me teach you about earth, air, fire, and water. I think that's fine, because sometimes, for example, when I'm researching something, say I'm researching astrology, I will read 4 or 5 different books about the exact same subject just so I can get a different point of view, because that's how we learn. I want to see the other side, you know? And I think those up and coming voices are important. What I think is strange is that when all of a sudden this a person who doesn't have a whole lot of experience becomes a guru, and maybe it isn't all their fault. Maybe it's just somebody, oh, you're published or you're famous, so you know everything, because why would you be published if you didn't to know everything. You know, and again, I'm not trying to bash people who write introductory books. A lot of the books I do, I consider introductory into shamanism, things like that. But it's interesting how people place a crown on something like you're a guru. And I don't think they understand how to be discerning. What do you think about that, about how people are not discerning? What does that mean?
I think this is nothing new, right? You know, so like, you know, well, it might sound a little bit like it's not just about, oh, these kids today and their TikTok, you know, like this is, you know, there's always been shysters out there and whatever, you know, fortune telling scams and all that. But people naturally like to follow leaders who tell them what they want to hear, you know, mm-hmm. which it's, it, you know, and that kind of goes back to, you know, Laura's call to personality comment too. But, you know, if you tell me it's going to be easy, I'm going to like your message a lot more than the guy who's telling me it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Well, I think you just stumbled upon something there, because it's, I mean, I remember when I first discovered witchcraft way back in the day, I wanted spells. I wanted, you know, I was 17 years old, and so I wasn't thinking about, I want to be a teacher at some point. I just thought, yeah, give me the damn spell. I want to do some cool magic or whatever. And I will admit, I would go through the spells. I was like, okay, this looks too hard. But in my defense, I was 17. Okay, but this looks too hard. Oh, but this one has two ingredients. Sold. I'll do that one. So I wonder how much of it is, oh, I don't have to do the hard work. I don't have to do the training. And, you know, a lot of the books, especially the ones that come out in the 80s, they told you how to, it was all introductory, how to raise energy, how to call the four directions, how to call the goddess, and how to cast the spell. And, you know, I got results. You know, now so much I see books on spells, but they don't really teach you how to do the energy aspect of it. I'm wondering how much of that is just, they just assume you know how to cast a spell, or it's just even passing up that. You know, it's like, oh, you don't need to know about the earth energies or about the stars or astrology or planets. You don't need to do any of this. Jump up and down three times and chant and you'll be fine.
There's definitely trends. And some of that might have been, you know, some of that might have been forgotten or, you know, become less of a trend. So whereas you think in the 80s or at least in the 90s, the big advice was it's all intent, right? And there of course is an aspect of that. And then in the 2000s, maybe 2010s, the spiritist view of spellcraft has started becoming a lot more trendy, or at least popular.
But when you
again,
say spiritist, you mean like conjuring spirits and things like that?
So I mean spirit driven. So this has gone, so this has gone analogous with the rise back to grimoire sources and the fact that so many more grimoires are being rediscovered and so then therefore republished.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and you know, I don't, you know, chicken and egg. I don't know if it's because of the interest or because of the trend, but you know, that they're being published. But in those, it's become much less about psychodrama and more about, no, you actually need to work and do all these things to work to get that spirit on your side, because it's the spirit who can work in the magic realm. We're limited to this realm. And so that's become like an antithesis to the previous trend of mentalism and intent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, going to argue towards one way or the other, but that's an example of how like change in views of how magic works and how spellcraft works and what magic is and all of these things. And so I think there's probably, I think there's other similar trends that are fading in and fading out. And one of them is, you know, the various whys of why spellcraft works.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Laura?
The other thing that I was thinking, because, you know, we started talking first or kind of like more intensely about the fame, right? Why these people are becoming famous. I'm a nerd. I love watching documentaries, and I have watched a number of them on how all these apps are designed to give us this sense of reward, right? So the likes and the notifications and the views and all of that. It really is the drug of our times. It really is the drug of our times. It gives you dopamine and it makes your brain do this and that. And it, the algorithms really are designed to give you what you want to hear. And so it has become, like Aaron was saying earlier, you know, the people that have more fame is not only because they're giving you this already diluted solution to your problems, but it's also about time, and it's also about how much content they produce, and it's also about how visible you are. And it seems to me that a lot of people that I know personally, authors and artists, and, you know, they're putting a lot of work, but they don't market themselves, so to speak. They just don't have the time to be on TikTok the whole day, because they are writing a book, or they are doing research, or they are actually activists solving problems in the world, and they are not famous, even though they're putting all this work into educating and sharing with the community. So it's kind of unfair how random it is. It really is just a random thing, you know, and I don't know. I think it's unfair.
You know, I just saw something on Facebook a few months ago, a couple months ago, and I don't remember the subject. It was something silly, and I learned. Speaking of Christopher Penzack, he taught me a long time ago. He says, you know, Chris, sometimes it's okay just to keep scrolling on Facebook. And I actually think about that all the time. I'm like, oh, I want to respond. Don't. But anyway, okay. So someone posted a question about magic, and people were giving really like inexperienced answers. You know, they weren't incorrect per se, but they weren't experienced. And then an elder in the community got on and was so eloquent and wrote like 4 or 5 sentences, and it was good. I was like, you know, that was impressive. You know, thank you for that comment. It was really cool. And then this person says, who asked you, Grandpa? And I was like, wow. Wow. So and that actually prompted me to think about this show, about how you have a person who's done the work, who isn't published, but is a leader, who has community, who has a circle, who's wise, and you just see the, and there isn't nothing bad or in what he said. It's just that someone didn't like that. A, they were older because of ageism, and B, because they didn't give them a quick fix answer. So the response was to try to hurt the game. And of course, I know this person, and they're like, haha, that's actually kind of funny you say that, because I actually am a grandfather, so whatever. But anyway, I was just like, isn't that interesting? But you can't say that about the whole gamut. You can say that about everyone's trying to find a quick fix. Everyone's trying to find the easy way. Everyone's trying to find the, you know, the guru and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's fascinating. So now I'm wondering, you know, if we've talked about it, if we comment on it, is there a solution? Is there an end? Is there a fix? What do we do?
I don't think there's a fix. Go ahead.
Please.
I don't think there's a fix because we live in a society for instant gratification. We have for the last 20 years. And the same criticism that we are seeing and exploring today, it was the same criticism that Cunningham got in the 80s. Mm. You know, for writing the accessible magic exploring books. I think we're getting old. Because we're getting old.
Get off my lawn.
Get on my lawn. We're seeing things differently. And I think that folks like us who like to be sharing information, we just should continue. I love doing what I do on my podcast and then here in order to share the information and then to let people decide, you know. And if you want the quick fix with the bruja that is super famous because they're getting naked on TikTok, then that's the medicine that is good for you. And that's the medicine that you feel that you deserve. So get that medicine, you know. I will continue sharing interviews, highlighting people that I think are talented, etc., and then continue educating myself and sharing education with others.
Exactly. Aaron.
And beyond sharing our information, I think drawing attention to those that we think should do deserve the recognition. Right. So people who are doing the work now and are maybe unsung or less sung than they should be. And I think that's historical as well. You know, some come in and out of fashion, but I, you know, like I said, this is not a new phenomenon. So there's past authors and witches and wizards that I think we can, we can reflect.
You know, I also think it's important to allow people to grow. So those I'm just going back to my example of the author who writes introductory books. Let them grow. I think that, you know, sometimes we actually pigeonhole people into something like, oh, they only write introductory things. Allow them to grow, allow people to change and to do different things. I know it was interesting. I know an author who is actually, I think, very talented, and someone says, "Oh, well, you're just that kid that writes beginner books." And I was just like, he wrote that book 10 years ago. Let them ask that. And the reason I bring that up is that I myself, and I know other people do this too, is that we often remember someone for one thing. Oh, you know, Aaron has the coffee shop, or Laura's a tarot card reader, or Chris, you know, he used to go out dancing all the time. And that's just, and people think, for example, you're going to laugh at this. My mother refuses to let me drive whenever I go home. She has to drive. You know why? Because she says, oh, yeah, you can't drive. When you were 8 years old, you ran over something with the go-kart. When I was eight. So people have that mentality of whatever they remember of someone, that's just how it is. And so we need to allow people to like move on and to grow and things like that. Yeah, but anyway, I say that because, you know, I think it's important to, you know, the witch talk people, they'll grow out of that eventually. They'll grow into it. And I have to say, sometimes Witch talk can be very entertaining. It can be very entertaining, especially if it's supposed to be entertaining. Like there's all, you know, there's all types of stuff. Aaron, it looks like you have something to say. What's going on?
No, I'm fine. You're like, I was just enjoying the story.
The other thing, I always have something to say. You don't have to ask me. Both of you know me to be like that. The other hand, the other side of the coin is if we get to a point, two things that we, if we're wise, we cannot let happen. The first one is I wrote on the chat, we need introductory books. Mm-hmm. We need one-on-one things. We need stuff for when the TikTokers or any other seeker picks up a book or a podcast. I am not a reader. I am a talker and I do podcasts. So anyway, the second thing is these kids are smart.
Yeah.
And if we're going to get into our, if we're going to get on our high horse and pretend that we cannot learn anything from young people, then we're mistaken. So as you say, Chris, sometimes TikTok is very entertaining. If not for nothing, just to learn what's happening with the youth, right? My nieces are not youth anymore. They're in their 30s, but it is through social media that I kind of understand where my nieces are or other people, you know? And I think that instead of telling people get off my lawn, we should be out there with our cup of tea, kind of like, what are you doing on my lawn? You know, what brought you here? Like, what's happening? You know, instead of just being like, oh no, I know it all, because that also don't work for anybody.
Well, that's also,
I think,
well, go ahead, Aaron.
Just what's really interesting to me is that a lot of the people who are the younger witches now grew up after, after witchcraft started already regaining popularity, mm-hmm. and well after self-help and pop psychology had become mainstream. So they've totally grown up with all the self-help lingo, all the positive mental thought movement lingo, and you know, some influence of witchcraft. And so for them, it's really different to them than it was to us. It, you know, I'm maybe not articulating that great, but you know, they have all the lingo and they have these concepts that they've just grown up with. So they're already combining them in different ways, which is one reason why, you know, witchcraft and pop psychology and the positive mental thought movement are becoming even more entwined. But they are, you know, they are doing some creation with that as well. And of course, we have things to learn from that. I was a little curious when I heard about today's topic. I don't know why, but something that popped into my head was just things I've heard about different occult authors over time and how their reputation kind of goes up and down. Mm-hmm. And one of them that I thought of was Dion Fortune, because I'd come from having teachers who completely dismissed her to having associates and acquaintances who like adored her, and some who appreciated her presenting Kabbalah from a woman's perspective at a time when that was unheard of, you know, and so we're still learning it that way. And I posted a question in one of these very witch groups, and I just said I'm doing a little research, and I'm wondering if anybody's still familiar with Dion Fortune or if they personally read her. And the only response I received was, I tried to avoid authors that have close ties to Aleister Crowley, as they tend to share a common fondness for racism, appropriation, sexism, and other deeply problematic beliefs. And then that was it. So, bye, Dion.
So, yeah, that's a whole nother topic. Right there. I'm not even sure. I'm processing that.
We don't have to get into all of that, but
like, okay. But
it's a funny little anecdote. But so witches and fame, they, you know, their popularity comes and goes with the generations. The fame is power, right? And a form of power. And that's why a lot of people get into witchcraft in the first place. You know, mm-hmm. they want power.
Power.
They want power. You know.
It shouldn't be, I'm not saying you should, but that is, you know, that is a big inspiration.
And in whichever way that they get that power, you know, it's because it's all political. It's all political. I mean, everything is political. And I, for one, you know, I love what how the TikTokers, not only the witches, but all of them, the ex-president and all of that, you know, and they were, the one thing that I really appreciate about TikTok is they come together because they don't have, some of them don't have a leader, right? So when something like that happened, it's like witch talk and Viking talk and pagan talk and indigenous talk, and they all come together and they make things happen. So again, there are things there that we can learn from. And like every other tool in the world, it's about how you use the tool, and it's not the tool itself, you know, including right. fame.
Yeah, I, you know, like I said before, I don't hate witch talk. I actually enjoy TikTok itself, partly it's because, you know, those people who do the dances and they do their legs like this. I am fascinated with that stupid dance. I'm like, I should do it, but I'll fall, so I'm not going to do it. But anyway, you know, as I'm reading the chat, there's things that are saying like all these things are important as long as it's not spreading misinformation. I'm wondering, you know, and I think we've all done it. I think we've all, you know, we've all misread something, or someone told us something that wasn't exactly correct or whatever. But I'm wondering, where is this misinformation coming from? You know, I know we have to close the show in just a second, but I wonder how many people are doing the research, or how about what if the research itself is wrong, which I've seen, you know, all things to think about as we close. Any closing words, Laura, because I know it's almost time.
I love fame. I love it. I love the limelight. I love the light shining on me. That's why I'm doing this. And that's my shadow speaking. And I hope those who deserve get it.
Awesome. Freighter Aaron, what's your closing thought today or tonight?
Check out Kelly and Maddox on YouTube. Check out New World Witchery on podcast. They've both been doing the work for like decades and they deserve fame.
So is that a podcast? New World
Witchery? New World Witchery is a podcast that's probably been going on for a decade.
Because I followed them on Instagram. So I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of, really quickly, before we close, I would like to say thank you to everyone for joining us. Thank you to the audience. We're on Facebook, the Mystic Chat. And then you can find me, Chris Allen, A-L-L-A-U-N. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on Twitter. Laura, where can they find you?
Everywhere. Facebook, Esther by Laura Gonzalez, Circo Sanctuary Network Podcast, Lunatic Monday Podcast, Paganos del Mundo Podcast, Instagram, Magia Cerati, TikTok, One Blue Witch. I'm not doing anything witchy, but that's my name on TikTok. And here, of course, Mystic Chat. And you can find me on Calendly as Thera by Laura. Aaron?
If you are not already connected with me, you can find me on Instagram at Nightcap Kitchen. And I love having witchy friends, so please do.
Awesome. All right. So thank you so much. And we will see you soon. I'm just going to stop the recording. Oh, yeah. Here's the button.